tell me your name, where you were born and raised, and where your family's from.
My name is Patricia Sena. I was born and raised in Bronx, New York, and my family is from Puerto Rico. Santurce, both of my parents.
Okay, so I'm Juan Flores, and I was actually born in Virginia, in Alexandria, Virginia, near D.C., because my father was working in D.C. But within a few years, the family moved to New York. So my father is Puerto Rican from the old school. He was born in 1900 in Barceloneta. My mother is Hungarian, so I'm a Hungarian, as they're called. And what I found out much more recently is that there's actually a lot of Hungarians, because the Hungarian neighborhood in New York is right adjacent to Red.
Okay, we're back. This week we had a very sad event in the New Yorkian community and the Puerto Rican community. One of the giants in the Latino studies profession passed away suddenly at 73 years old, Professor Juan Flores. He was a victim of Guillain-Barré disease while he was doing a conference at Duke. He fell victim to it, and we send out all our sympathies to all of Juan Flores' friends, especially his wife, Miriam Jimenez Roman, who I hope is listening. And today on the air, we have with us Professor Arcadio Diaz-Quiñones from Princeton University, Urayoan Noel from NYU, and Raquel Rivera, who's a visiting scholar at University of Mexico. And so I want you all to, I welcome you all to the program. And first, Arcadio, I was really influenced by the Divided Borders book that Juan wrote, and I'm sure you've worked with him for a long time, and you have so many things you might want to say about his work and him as a person.
Well, hi, good morning, Ed and Raquel Urayoan, too. It's a very sad week. Juan was a dear friend and a much admired intellectual and colleague. I think Juan played a key role in the shaping and transforming the contours of what today we know as diasporic Puerto Rican and Latino political and cultural traditions. I think that his books, his translations, he translated, for example, the memoirs of Bernardo Vega, among others, and his essays on Puerto Rican identity. Probably his best-known book has been From Bomba to Hip-Hop.
Right.
He engages and he speaks critically to scholars interested in Latinos and Puerto Ricans. I think also I admire the way in the last years he devoted himself with Miriam Jimenez, his wife, passionately to create a very solid foundation for Afro-Latino studies, Afro-Latino interventions, Afro-Latino debates. And I think that I want to remember that too. We owe a lot to him. He will be missed, severely missed. I think that Juan Flores, as you said, one of the giants, and particularly because he contributed, I think, immensely to creating a tradition, an intellectual tradition, and to engage in debates related to that diasporic tradition, and even the return of the diaspora. I remember when his book, The Diaspora Strikes Back, came out. I think that's a very important book, Diaspora's Return, and sometimes that return is full of conflicts and tensions, and he did not shy away from that. On the contrary, along with poets like Mariposa, he quotes in that book, and Tato La Viera, to whom he devoted essays and a great deal of thought, I mean, he engaged in that debate as well. What happens when members of the diaspora return to the homeland and ironically become also a sort of diaspora within the homeland?
Right.
Very fascinating book.
He captured that whole idea that in a way brings us all together, because I'm a native New Yorker and you two guys were raised in Puerto Rico, and but we're all kind of like the same person now, because you know, we learn from each other, and we see how the New York culture affects people in Puerto Rico, and how we're always trying to reclaim our identity from Puerto Rico. So Urayawan, could you tell me a little bit about Juan Flores's effect on you and what you do at NYU and folks like Dato Laviera and things like that, who also recently passed away?
Sure. Thank you, Ed, for having me here. I think it's hard to be a junior scholar in a field like Puerto Rican studies, right, and looking at New Rican culture in particular, without seeing Juan at every step. I was at the El Museo del Barrio last night talking about Pedro Pietri, the great poet laureate of the Puerto Rican diaspora, and I gave a shout-out to Juan because one of his last projects was co-editing with Professor Pedro López Adorno, selected poems of Pedro Pietri that's forthcoming from City Lights Books, finally. So Juan was laboring, right, in some of the very spaces that I work on today. And so, as Arcadio mentioned, I think his trajectory is such that it's hard to claim a space, right, culturally, that isn't one that Juan paved for us. Thinking also of what I value about Juan was his sense of institutional politics also. I mean, at a kind of highfalutin school like NYU, I think Juan had a sense of how to bring the community into institutional space. I'll just tell this story really quickly. I saw him last year bringing Joe Bataan, the great Afro-Filipino, Latin Bugalú, and salsa to an extent musician, right? This was part of a project when I was working on salsa. I hope that project comes out. So Juan connects salsa and hip-hop because Joe Bataan has his record called Rapo Clapo. I think that's 1979 or so, which predates Circuit Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight, right? And so Juan claims it as this bridge, right, between these secret histories of salsa and hip-hop. And he proceeds to bring Joe Bataan to the King Juan Carlos Center, right, this space funded by the King of Spain, this very elite space. And Joe Bataan proceeds to perform Rapo Clapo with cassette tape backing tracks. It was amazingly old-school kind of barrio, right, event, in the context of this elite institutional space at NYU. And that was to me emblematic of Juan's method. It was finding these new archives, finding these forgotten texts, claiming these secret histories, and throwing them against these institutional contexts and these kind of calcified traditions, and seeing what happened. And he had the stature, right, at this point in his life, to really force folks to pay attention to stuff.
Music was so important with Juan. And before we run out of time, I just want to bring Raquel in. And Raquel wrote that wonderful book, New York Puerto Ricans in the Hip Hop Zone. Juan really worked so hard to recognize the Puerto Rican roots of hip hop. So tell me a little bit about that, Raquel.
Well, my book is definitely like a child of Juan's thought. Like when I was a master student in Puerto Rico studying rap music in Puerto Rico, and I started reading Juan's work, I was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, folks are arguing in Puerto Rico, oh, no, this music is not really worthy to consider as part of Puerto Rican music, yet Juan had a few articles exploring the role of New York Puerto Ricans. So we started corresponding, we met each other, and he's the reason why I decided, okay, so for my PhD studies, this is what I'm going to concentrate on. And following up on what Arcadio and Urayuan have said, he paid a lot of attention to the stories that needed to be told. So that hip-hop story within the context of...
Bring up number four.
Puerto Rican music, Latino music and culture, and African-American music and culture, like making those connections. He was fabulous doing that the same reasoning was behind his
Thanks, Raquel. We're running out of time. We just want to salute Juan for his wonderful, warm, generous person, and hope that we can all join with him in the universe.
I want to thank you so much, Ed, for being with us. Thank all of our guests this morning. Don't forget, coming up at 10 o'clock, listener phone calls on WBAI. It's 8 o'clock. Michael G. Haskins here, Ed Morales, Mario Tomorrow. Coming up, Democracy Now!